Which players are on the move, and what impact will that have on the teams involved? Jim Duquette will fill you in now in the On the Move podcast, presented by Penske.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the On the Move podcast. I'm Tim McMaster, along with Jim Duquette. It's trade deadline week. There's no, you can't rest.
No sleep. Sickness doesn't matter. You fight through it, Tim.
Yeah, certainly. Just don't get too close.
Come here.
As we record this. We are in the middle of the trade deadline. And man, we're starting early this year, right? Oh, yeah. We have out of the gate, Aroldis Chapman to kick off kind of the week leading up to the August 1st trade deadline this year. And then the next day, suddenly another big piece moves. Melvin Upton Jr. going to the Toronto Blue Jays. Let's start by kind of recapping those moves. Then we'll go on to what we could still see happen through the rest of the week. Let's start with Chapman. I know we talked about it a lot yesterday. We've talked about it a lot on MLB.com, but the Cubs needed relief, and they go out, they get the best guy available in Aroldis Chapman. Maybe they wanted Andrew Miller a little more, but it seems like at the end of the day, the Yankees didn't want to move Andrew Miller, and it was Chapman all the way.
Yeah, it was. And you know, the Yankees, Brian Cashman said today that, you know, we're going to continue to straddle the fence, which is what they're kind of doing. You know, Pineda goes seven innings, and so they only need Betances and Miller to beat Houston. And you know, if they could dial it up like that every time, then they wouldn't need Chapman anyway. But I do think that that bridge, Warren's going to be the bridge to Betances and Miller. That's still going to be good. I think Swarzak, a couple other guys, maybe they decide. And you know, we may see some more moves out of the Yankees. I thought it was interesting listening to the Cubs. There's always fallout after deals, right? And you know, talking to Rondon, which we mentioned, we weren't quite sure what he was going to say. Well, Rondon was, you know, he embraced it. He said, hey, listen, this guy's a really good pitcher, reliever. We're better. If Joe wants me to pitch in the seventh or eighth inning, I'll do it, you know. And that's what you want to hear, but you're never really quite sure how they're going to do. And let's see how he pitches now, because if he doesn't pitch well, maybe he feels differently, you know, a little later. But I think that you know, the fallout I thought was just as important to kind of see what it was, at least the initial conversation that was taking place.
Yeah, and I think it's probably easier for Rondo when you see that it's Chapman coming. There's no question, right. Hey, this is the best guy. This guy's the best at what he does. He's right. Going to step in front of me. I was a little surprised on Twitter. You always get the vibe of the fans on Twitter a little bit. And a lot of Cubs fans were saying, I can't believe we gave up all this stuff. And I wanted to be like, you realize how long it's been
right. Since
you won a World Series. It's been a long time. You do whatever you have to do
right. To
get it done and to get that guy that you need, and that's certainly what they did. All right, moving on to Melvin Upton Jr. There's teams out there that need a bat, need some help in the outfield. I don't know if I would put the Toronto Blue Jays necessarily in that group, but they're the team that makes the move. I thought the Blue Jays are definitely going to add pitching, and they probably still will, I guess, because they need either bullpen or starting. We'll see where Aaron Sanchez ends up. But they go and they add an outfielder. Now they have Michael Saunders, Kevin Pillar. Jose Bautista just came back on Monday night from his injury. Now Melvin Upton Jr. But you like it because it gives them the depth and it helps them going forward.
Well, a couple things I like. First off, he hits lefties well. And if you look at they're below 500, Blue Jays are against left-handed pitching. So I think he helps them there in particular. And I don't know who they take out of the lineup, by the way, because, you know, Saunders has hit lefties this year really well, and Bautista, obviously, Pillar, and Encarnacion. So, you know, we'll wait and see. Maybe there's a DH spot. Maybe Encarnacion plays first and you DH Upton. But you add some team speed, which they don't have a lot of. He gives you versatility. He can play all three outfield positions, although he's only played, I think, eight innings in right field. But I think that's because Matt Kemp was in right field playing most of the time in San Diego. He can do it. He can handle it. He can handle center. He can handle left. So he gives you that versatility. And then, you know, when you're – all these guys are dealing with injuries. So Bautista's been dealing with an injury. Saunders has been dealing with some knee issues. So it allows Gibby to, you know, spell them, get them off their feet, and put a real credible player out in the outfield. So I did. I liked it. They didn't, you know, they took back $17 million, San Diego did. 17 out of the 20-something million, $26 million, I think that was, there was $22 million, I think, that was left on his contract between, you know, the last 2 months this year and all next year. it's a lot of money to take back if you're San Diego. So I thought from Toronto's side, they didn't add all that much payroll, and they gave up a lower-level pitching prospect.
And I guess Pilar is always an injury risk just because of the way he plays.
Sure,
going
that's
all
right.
Out. When you look at it from the Padres' standpoint, they add, you said it, it's not a top-level prospect, but it is a prospect. And they continue, after going all in 2015, they quickly hit that reset button. And with the Kimbrel trade, Pomerantz trade, this trade, suddenly in quickly they've kind of rearranged and turned around that minor league system that they gave a lot away to bring all those guys in. Suddenly now it's kind of stocked up a little bit again.
Stocked up again, and they needed to. Listen, going to the lower levels when they traded Rodney for the Paddock kid, of course, to this deal, and even the Red Sox deal that they did with Kimbrel, and then again with Pomerantz. I mean, they've restocked the system. It's a strong system. They had multiple picks at the in the amateur draft this year when we were doing that. So it's you know, one of those where you're not going to see the fruits of the labor for a couple of years. And that's the question there. There's a lot of upset Padre fans, you know, that are like looking at this like, oh, here we go again. But this is, I feel like, a little bit different in the sense that, you know, they are kind of building on multiple layers. They haven't won at the major league level, but they're adding as much talent as they can, whether it's young or older talent. And I think that's the difference for me, saving some money, and then they can go out and try to spend it again next year or the year after.
And A.J. Preller went in there, and he made the big splash. It didn't work, but now he's kind of going the other route, and they're going to build from within. And at some point, like you said, you spend that money and add pieces again. All right, let's work our way kind of through the league here as the trade deadline approaches. Go division by division. Who needs what? What can they get? That kind of thing. And let's start in the East because we were just talking about the Blue Jays. So let's go from there. The Blue Jays make a move. The Red Sox have made a big move. The Orioles have yet to make their move, and we know they need pitching. When is the time for Baltimore?
Well, I know it's not for lack of trying. I know they're certainly looking at other starters. They're looking at Helixson. They're looking at Cashner, among others. Even a guy like Garza in Milwaukee. They're just trying to upgrade any way they can. They have interesting pieces with Gausman and Bundy pitching well this last time through the rotation. We know how well Tillman's pitched. So it's not like they need a big piece the way they've looked. Gallardo pitched well here recently. So I do think, though, that they're going to get a starter or a reliever or both. It's just a matter of when and where. And you know, the prices right now are still very high. If you're out there shopping, Helixson, the asking price was a high prospect. Phillies even asked for Dylan Bundy back in return. You're like, whoa, that's a lot. You're not going to do that. So, you know, that gives you a sense of what teams that have starting pitching, what they're asking for. And, you know, you just never know at this point what it is that you can get back. So you might as well continue to ask for that. And you can always reduce the price as you get closer to Monday.
Those other two teams, the Blue Jays, you feel like the Blue Jays still need some pitching. I mean, we'll see what Aaron Sanchez goes if he ends up moving to the bullpen, staying in the rotation. Dave Dombrowski seems like he's never done dealing. So those two teams probably not quite done either?
Probably not done. I think the Red Sox are still looking to do something big. If they did, it would be in the rotation. They could use a bullpen piece. Toronto looks like they're looking for a starter as well. Adding the offense there, again, like you said, Sanchez moves to the pen. Maybe looks like it, but they're dodging the question now. Where they've been,
they used to be set on it.
He was doing it. Now it's like, well, we'll let you know when it happens. it sounds like they'll still do it. So I think they probably need a starter, but they also have Drew Hutchison too that they could insert there if they needed to in a pinch. So I think that's pretty clear where those teams are leaning. It's pitching.
As we move to the AL Central, there's kind of been a separation here, and it's, you know, the Royals, you hate to say it, they're the defending champs, but they look like they're almost in a position to sell right now. Two games under 500, the White Sox now a game under 500. We've heard all the Chris Sale rumors kind of starting to flood as far as that goes. So that leaves the Indians, who are clearly buyers, and then the Tigers that, at this point, they seem to always be buyers. They're hanging on there. So let's go Indians first, because obviously Yan Gomes goes down. There's a gaping hole there as far as catching goes, and there's a catcher out there in Jonathan Lucroy. Is that the big move for the Indians? Is there also a pitcher maybe in their future?
Well, they keep denying that they're heavily on Lucroy. That's an obvious need and an obvious bat that would fit there. So that's number one. Number two, they're looking for, you know, could go with a corner outfielder since Brantley's maybe not going to be back. Doesn't sound like they're on Bruce. Maybe it's Reddick as well. But I also think that they're looking at a bullpen piece too. So, you know, in the end, I think they end up getting a relief pitcher, but I think they're knocking the door trying to see if there's an outfielder they can grab.
Everybody's looking for a bullpen piece. That's the one thing. Everybody needs relievers, and that's good for those teams that there are a lot of relievers out there, certainly more so than the starters. How about the Tigers? I mean, what can they do at this point? The Tigers are always a team that seems like they need bullpen help. We thought maybe they had finally made the moves this year to shore up that pen, but they've had some issues as of late in the late innings. What do they need to try to hang around here?
Yeah, they're looking at, you know, Jeffress from Milwaukee, Will Smith, Genmark Gomez, those arms. I don't think they're looking at anything at the back end with the closer. They have some protection there if they need Joe Smith out of the Angels. So those are all names that you hear there. But I think you hit on it. Bullpen is the piece for the Tigers.
Always seems to be the case when it comes to the Detroit Tigers. All right, moving out west, kind of a two-team race there as well. I mean, I don't know if you think maybe the Mariners could be buyers. They seem like maybe they stay the course. I don't know if there's a lot of pieces to sell, but it's a battle in the Lone Star State. It's the Rangers and the Astros. It's been the Rangers all year. But the Astros seem like the team with all the momentum right now. But Texas, they're a team that likes to make that big move late. They did it a year ago, and I know we've talked about if there's a team that's going to pull that trigger on Chris Sale, maybe it's Texas.
Yeah, I think that's one team. They have the chips to do it. It's going to be expensive. And I wouldn't be surprised. They're bold. The front office there makes bold moves. So, in the end, do I think Sale gets moved? No, but the one team that has that chance, maybe two. There's Rangers and the Red Sox. So that, to me, stands out. I think you look at also, they could be in the mix for Lucroy. Heard their name mentioned recently there on the trade. They could be looking for outfield help. You know, they've had some injuries there, obviously, to Chu and to Fielder. So they still have a couple moves. So the primary motivation right now, the primary need is starting rotation depth. But they're shopping big, like they always do. So I wouldn't be surprised if they had multiple moves left.
And it looks like Fielder's done for the year, but he wasn't having much of a year anyway, so I don't know how much they miss him. If they can't get Sale, they get a mid-level guy?
I believe they're after a mid-level guy, too. I wouldn't be surprised if Rich Hill ends up there. He's certainly one of the guys. Oda Rizzi and Matt Moore are other names that they've been linked to. I think they end up with one of them, yeah.
Alex Bregman may be the best addition any team can really add as far as position players go down the stretch here. And that's what the Astros did on Monday night, promoting their number one prospect, a guy that had a tremendous futures game. He was drafted just over a year ago. You talk about quick to the big leagues, but every level he's been at, he's hit. How much of a factor can Bregman be at the major league level? What else do the Astros need?
Well, I think he can be a big factor. He's swinging the bat really well. We saw it at the futures game, but if he doesn't do well, they have the Gurriel kid, the Cuban, that coming right behind him, too. So, you know, we'll see how Gurriel looks. Maybe he plays the outfield, but their offense is good. I think, you know, they'll look at rotation depth as a possibility and bullpen depth as a possibility. Some of those names that we've already mentioned, you know, starters down in Tampa, relievers down there. Houston Street's a guy that could add some help to the back end of the bullpen. Their bullpen's been pretty good, but they could use a little bit more depth there. They're shopping and are very, very active right now.
It's the same names over and over again as you get through these teams, certainly. And as we move to the National League, we'll go back to the East, and it's Nationals and Mets and Marlins. The Marlins have already kind of made a move out there. The Mets obviously had the big moves a year ago that propelled them all the way to the World Series. It doesn't seem like that's going to be in the cards this year.
No, and their general manager recently just said, you know, threw a lot of cold water on Lucroy there. I still think that might come back to them and they might have a chance, but in the end, I think they're going to find a bullpen help like they did last year with Tyler Clipper. They add a piece there to give them a little rest in the seventh and eighth inning. They've been talking to the Brewers about Will Smith and Jeffress and that group of guys. I wouldn't be surprised. They talked to the Braves about a guy like Jim Johnson. They talked to the Braves, Diamondbacks about Daniel Hudson. It's going to be somebody like that. I mean, maybe even an outside chance of Ryan Matson out of Oakland.
Now, the Marlins playing against the Phillies right now, and Monday night, Jeremy Hellickson throws six scoreless against the Marlins. Was that an audition for the Marlins?
That was a showcase.
I mean, is that a direction they're going?
That was definitely a showcase. In fact, I would have tried to get him before he pitched against you.
You can't beat him, Jillian,
have him
right?
Start for you today. But I do think that is a spot, you know, and it helped from the Marlins side, helped from the Phillies side to get what they're looking for. You know, the Marlins have a couple of small pieces. that they can improve on. And Hellickson's one of the guys. Oda Rizzi, you know, the Tampa pitchers in particular. Recently, we heard Wade Miley's name out of Seattle. So they need at least one starter. It depends on when Chen is back if they decide to go after a second one.
Now, we know the Nationals wanted Chapman. I think he was the guy they kind of had circled. Already the relationship with Dusty Baker from back in the Reds days. So they don't get him. So Papelbon's still right now the closer. And I don't think that's a terrible thing. I mean, no. Papelbon has been good this season, no doubt. Not always a clean ninth, but no. But he gets you through. Not the velocity that he once had. So who are they still looking for, a closer, or are they just looking for somebody to get you to Papelbon?
Yeah, I think at this point, I don't think there's another dominant type closer right. that you would take Papelbon out of that role for. Right. So I think they look at, you know, seventh and eighth inning, that type of guy. If Andrew Miller were available, they would be on him. But it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. And so, you know, the guys that we've mentioned already, Jefferson and Jenmar Gomez, I mean, that's why.
The replay button.
Yeah, that's why we haven't seen those guys move yet.
Yep.
Is because there's so many, there's upwards of 10 teams all needing relief help.
Because of that, is the relief market going to be something that is a Sunday kind of thing? Because so many teams need it. You just push and push and push to get that best deal right up until the deadline.
If you have a relief pitcher, you're using one off of the other. And you're saying, listen, if you want our guy, it's going to take this because we already have a better guy. And you just leave it open and see. And I think the team who holds off, has a good reliever and holds off until the last moment, and there's three teams that didn't get what they're looking for, I think you have a chance to get have a little bit more leverage and get another piece for it.
All right. In the Central, we know what the Cubs have done. So you go on to the other two teams, and it's the Cardinals, it's the Pirates, and I think the Cardinals are in a situation where maybe they're not looking for what they thought they'd be looking for at this point going into the year. You figured coming into the year maybe they'd be looking to add a bat, right. But instead it's pitching.
Yeah, it's pitching. You know, the rotation seems to be better.
It's settled out,
and
right?
Settled yeah. Since June 1st. They're number one in ERA in the pitching side. Back end relief, they need Rosenthal to come back, and get back to some semblance of the way he was. I think they're going to add another bullpen piece. They could use a left-hander. Not a lot of lefties out there, but either way, they'll take a righty if it's going to make them better. And I think that's, same name for the Cardinals in the relief.
You mentioned Rosenthal, but is O the closer the rest of the way?
I think O will be the closer. I don't know if it'll be the rest of the way or not. If Rosenthal were to figure some things out, I think Mike Matheny would like to put him back in that spot, but it's really all about his command. I wouldn't be surprised if they sent him to AAA for a period of time to get him on track. They've done that already with Colton Wong and Randall Grichuk, so keep an eye out for that.
Pirates are a team that obviously has that great young pitching. Tyon's been up, Glasnow's been up now. They have Gerrit Cole, but can you rely on those guys? Glasnow now banged up a little bit with the injury, yeah. Or do they need a starter?
They might need a starter. Yeah, I think their ideal is staying with Glasnow. I don't think Nice gets back into the rotation unless it's a spot start. It's a pretty well-rounded team overall. I wouldn't be surprised if they do nothing, and that's one of those areas that they're kind of dealing with. If they could, trade Nice for another need, I think you might see that too as a move. The Mets had talked about and kicked the tire on John Nice when they were looking at starting rotation help, what they give back. I think it might be financial relief that would allow the Pirates to go out and get something, a little bit better in the bullpen or in the rotation. So, I don't know. We'll wait and see where that goes. But right now, they're busy, but I don't think they're going to make much of a move.
And we know the Pirates don't want to give up their young talent. They don't want to be giving up prospects this time of year.
No, Josh Bell's going to come up and help them for sure. Yeah. He's a real talented kid, as we saw. They have
Austin Meadows is soon too. Yeah,
top prospect. They have some really impactful guys. You don't want to move those to ruin your future. So they're playing that role that they usually do, which is add complementary pieces.
All right, let's head out west now, and that's another situation where it's the Giants and the Dodgers, and that's what you want in a pennant race out west, right? You want it to be Giants against Dodgers, and the Giants. There's been stretches this year where they've looked like the most complete team in baseball, but so many injuries to guys and there's question marks right now.
Right.
Are these guys going to get back? Is that the biggest issue they face? You have panic battling the concussion. You have all these guys that if they're back and healthy, you're in good shape, but can you depend on them to be back?
Right. Speaking to Bobby Evans recently, that's their route. They want those guys to come back healthy, whether it's Panic, whether it's Pence. Duffy's still a little bit unsure, but they're going to, you know, I think, ride it out that way. They may add an outfield piece. We'll wait and see on that. I'm not 100% sure they're going to do that. I think they were hoping to be in on Chapman, but it was really too expensive. Houston Street's name has popped up recently as a guy that would fit up there. That's the type of guy. I wouldn't, you know, they've had different deals with the Phillies. Gomez is in their mix too, so I think that's full speed ahead with that back end reliever.
The Dodgers are a team that suddenly are in need of an ace. I mean, yeah. Clayton Kershaw's out. Who would have thought that? He's been a guy that's been healthy for the most part, and suddenly you got to look at the roster and wonder, without him, can this team win? I mean, when you look at how many games over 500 they are versus how many games over 500 they are in his starts, it's not that big a difference. So where do the Dodgers go? Obviously, they have a ton of pieces in that system still. It's a minor league system with loads of talent where they could go out and make moves. The question is, what kind of move do you make, and what do you do with the Kershaw situation?
Yeah, it's interesting because they have Tampa in town. Chris Archer is pitching. And then you wonder if that's a showcase, because they have the chips to do it. So they said they'd be willing to move Arias for Chris Sale. Would they be willing to do it for Chris Archer? My guess is they would. We know that the executives there talk on a regular basis. Andrew Friedman does with Matthew.
Some familiarity there.
Yeah, and that helps a lot. You know, there's a trust factor there. So I wouldn't be surprised if they get together and Dodgers end up with one of their starters.
Yeah, and Friedman, the guy that actually traded for Archer to get him to Tampa Bay back in his Rays days, so he's certainly comfortable there. All right, so there's a plenty of guys still out there. Is there going to be more blockbusters as we get through the week, or is it going to be more of a quieter, smaller move type deadline season?
You know, a lot of it is because it's a seller's market. I think it becomes difficult to see those blockbusters. You know, there were blockbuster deals last year, but the asking price wasn't quite as high because they were going to be free agents. We don't really have that animal. So, you know, for control, the controllable pieces that like Sale, as we've talked about, Archer, that's going to cost you so much more in terms of talent. I think teams are resistant to give up that much, that many prospects. So I don't see there being one. Maybe the Rangers, because they did with Hamels, they might be willing to go down that road again. They might be the one team. Dodgers say they're going to hunt big, but they haven't done it yet, so I'm a little skeptical there. And the Red Sox are motivated to do it, and they still have plenty of pieces, but I don't know if they match up. So it's kind of interesting to me. There's always a chance, 20% chance I'd probably throw on it that we'd have a blockbuster. I think a lot of those other names that we talked about are mid-level to back-end guys.
If we don't see the big deal, we're certainly still going to hear the rumors.
Oh, yeah.
That's what
no
makes
doubt.
This season so much fun. It's going to be a fun week. And, of course, again, the trade deadline this year, August 1st, not July 31st. So it's Monday, August 1st, the deadline. And we will continue to monitor all those rumors here on MLB.com. For Jim Duquette, I'm Tim McMaster. Thanks for tuning in.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.